So this is certainly.
But you'll be back before February.
I'm sitting in front of a church because everyone's in the back rows. Nobody wants to be up front. The minister might call you out for your transgressions and sins.
Wait a minute. People sit in front when I preach.
Take that present back.
That's the coffee cup down.
Really?
Yo, right here. The
right
baby.
Into the party.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Thank you. Well, nice. Good morning anyway. This is our last meeting of the committee. We haven't got anything prepared other than the two bills we're going to run here today. I do want to take a minute, I'm sure Nancy will also, to thank you. We're going to try to put together a little after party next week, I expect. We've been so busy trying to get bills authorized and worked and into the committee this week, I haven't had a chance to really think about it very much. So Nancy and I will talk about it and, you know, come up with a place we can get together and maybe have a glass of wine or something and kind of relax. But I do want to thank everybody for all the hard work that was done here in the committee, all the time you spent here. I know it's been a long 5 months. If it's any satisfaction to you, we passed out the two biggest budgets in the state. If you add our two budgets up, they're bigger than the rest of the state budgets combined. Mm-hmm. We're about close to $30 billion, and the rest of the state's about 15. So the work you've done here has really been important, and I appreciate everyone looking at it. I know that none of us could have gone line through $30 billion, but we did the best we could to get your priorities in, things lined up. Especially want to thank LFO. Not everyone's here. Kim's here this morning. Linda, Lori, and Matt, and everybody who's been involved in this has done a great job for us in preparing things, keeping us on track, making sure that I say the right thing and not the wrong thing on these bills we run every time. So I really appreciate all the support and help we've had. Nancy?
You said plenty. I want to echo the sentiments of my co-chair. It's been wonderful serving with you all.
It was especially nice for me to get to know three of you who I've not known before very well, and it's been a real pleasure working with you. Representative Boone and I worked together before, and I know who she is, and I think she kind of knows who I am, but the three of you were new
to
me.
I still love you. After all
it's
this.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And with the exception of Representative Olson, it's been a wonderful experience.
Appreciate
and
that,
now
doctor.
Him, after this morning.
Isn't that cool? And you missed all the nice
and the little mugs we got for you are something we came up during the campaign. We gave it to all the campaign workers that were sort of in the war room with us, and I was surprised how much they liked it, so we decided to do it for the committee here too.
And
it should have your name on it, hopefully spelled right, and people can't steal it that way, okay? They're going to have a harder time, okay?
Whether it's a Senate girl.
The only thing bad about it, I'll warn you, is it's stainless steel. It's got a vacuum. It does a great job if you're hot and cold. Don't microwave it. Not a good idea. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Very sweet.
Thank you.
So I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 969. Kim, do you want to help us here?
Okay. Chair Bates, members of the committee, Senate Bill 969 establishes the 15-member task force on reentry, employment, and housing, charged with studying and recommending methods and actions that the state and local government should adopt to assist no longer incarcerated persons with criminal convictions with housing and employment. The committee services is required to provide staff support to the task force, and the Oregon Housing and Community Services is to reimburse the non-legislative members of the task force. And you should have the staff summary and the fiscal impact on OLIS, and the fiscal is indeterminate depending on the scope of the work undertaken by the task force, as well as the number of meetings and geographic location of the task force members, but it's anticipated to be minimal and absorbable in the two agency's budget.
Thank you, Kim. I wasn't expecting this to come to us. I found it late last night. I read through it. It appears to me the task force is going to look at the issue of homelessness and getting people who have served their time having trouble with housing and jobs and getting them reintegrated back into life. I see that Senator Winters was one of the, I think, chief co-sponsors on this, and maybe you'd like to make a comment on it?
Well, just briefly, and I'm sure, and I know that probably my other colleague who worked on 3194 is just another step in trying to identify and to be able to make reentry back into the community as smooth and viable as possible. If you talk to when we did ban the box, Senator Dimbrough and I talked about that there really was a need for a further step. There was a need to begin to really address some of the obstacles and barriers that exist with individuals obtaining housing and employment. In addition to that, I've spoken with the Governor's Reentry Council, and they too agree that the work here can enhance the work that they're doing. And so we look forward to actually very quickly getting this group together. If you will note, we also added to this work group, to this task force, the business community as well as Bowling, as well as the trades, so that we're beginning to look at comprehensively what can we do in order to make certain that individuals who have paid their debt to society are able to have housing and employment.
Thank you. Any discussion? I would entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 969 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Nathanson has moved Senate Bill 969 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved. So I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 969, and we'll open a work session on...
Carriers.
I'm assuming Senator Winters will carry it in full and on the floor in the Senate.
And probably Senator Dimbrough would like to co-carry with me on the floor.
Let's put Senator Dimbrough on that then, too.
We need to carry it from the House. Do you have the...
Make Krieger carry it.
We would like Williamson.
He's on it. I met with Krieger this morning.
Oh, he's on it, too?
Yeah. And also Krieger's on it.
I met with him on it this morning.
And Kotex, yes. I'll consult with the speakers.
Both House will carry it.
Yeah. You can do it like one of those stories, like one person says one word and one person says the other word. They can script it all out.
Well, I was actually...
a little humor and levity. It's time of year. We need it.
I was actually in the House yesterday when we were doing the marijuana bills, and I just kind of felt that that's the way they work it over there. Everyone spoke, I think, twice. And, you know, and by the time they got done, I was actually pretty confused. So I just finally had to leave. You know? So I will now open a work session on House Bill 3396. Kim.
Okay, Chair Bates, members of the committee, House Bill 3396 creates the Health Care Provider Incentive Fund to consolidate Oregon's provider incentive programs. You should have the -A22 amendment and the staff measure summary and the fiscal impact on OLIS. And the -A22 establishes the fund. It creates the Health Care Provider Incentive Program, and then it requires the Oregon Health Policy Board and the Oregon Health Authority to study the effectiveness of the current financial incentives offered by the state to recruit and retain qualified health care providers. It allows OHA to consult with the Graduate Medical Education Consortium, the Healthcare Workforce Institute, the Office of Rural Health, the Oregon Center for Nursing, and other appropriate entities. And it requires OHA to submit a report by September 1st, 2016. That's the final recommendation. It should be doing progress reports during November of 2015. It extends the tax credit from January 1st, 2016 to January 1st, 2018. It repeals several of the incentive funds. And it stipulates that the current service agreements remain in effect for the term specified in the existing agreements. And the -A22 finally appropriates $180,000 general fund to the Oregon Health Authority to study the effectiveness of the current incentive programs.
Thank you, Kim. Can I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move the -A22 amendment into House Bill 3396.
Representative Nathanson moves the -A22 amendment to House Bill 3396. Any discussion?
Thank you, Chair. So just to be clear, so this remove the whole discussion we had about things sunsetting. Instead, we're just saying report back and we'll make decisions?
Nope.
No. Still my understanding is Representative Nathan Scarville, I'm not going to speak to it.
In the latest amendment, it does what was described 2 days ago, is that? The changes between then and this amendment are the preamble that you heard about to ensure that the legislature intends to continue to have incentives. That preamble is added in with this amendment. The preamble gave assurances that, maybe I should just read it. It says it's not our intent to have no incentive programs, that incentive programs, current ones, for example, could be modified, they could be expanded, new ones may come in, that this the legislature certainly intends to have incentive programs. We're just trying to study which ones work best. Mm-hmm. All the sunsets remain in place. That's as I believe it was Senator Winters who pointed out in the discussion. Sometimes you need to take action that would be effective at a future date to ensure that people are at the table talking, working diligently, and finishing up their work mm-hmm. before that date. And it's designed with plenty of time then. The date is in 2018, so there's plenty of time then to receive the recommendations and then either re-up all the incentives or modify them or add a couple of new ones. We've heard that residency programs are something that's been very much desired and could be very effective. That's an example. So the sunsets remain. The preamble is in there to ensure and give the right message during recruiting that there will continue to be incentives in place. A couple other things that were done. OHSU brought to my attention that there was a place in one of those late amendments that really was pretty inappropriate. It was shifting a program, Scholars for Healthy Oregon, away from OHSU and shifting money in 2017, which is even before that agreed date of sunset, and that was not appropriate. So that stuff has been removed from this amendment. In this amendment, it removes that from the way the bill had looked currently. And there were a couple of clarifications, technical. There was a missing statutory reference, kind of a technical point. It was mentioned in text in another paragraph, but in a statutory list of statutes, it was omitted. Healthcare Workforce Committee should have been Healthcare Workforce Institute, a couple of those sorts of technical things. And then also, there had been a discussion about naturopaths, and that discussion is now not included at all mm-hmm. in the amendment. Instead, one of the significant parts, I think, of this amendment is it clarifies that in the recommendations, we want to receive recommended definitions for what is a rural or medically underserved area. You know, because in different statutes and in different programs, maybe it's 30 miles, maybe it's 50 miles. Some people talk about, well, it needs to be 20, not 30. And there's been either confusion in some cases, inconsistent application of what people thought the rules ought to be. So we want to hear what those areas, what should be the definition, and then instead of referring to primary care, it's using the term qualified healthcare practitioner. And that is
provider,
meant to
I think,
provider,
yeah.
Thank you, qualified healthcare provider. And that is meant to give the board the flexibility to recommend and for those recommendations even to change over time if they need to, but for them to take a good look at. You know, it's not just about recruiting doctors. Depending on what area you need help in, especially in rural areas, maybe what you need is another nurse practitioner. Maybe you need a PA. Maybe you need a naturopath in this community over here. It allows the board the flexibility to provide recommendations on what's qualified.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And just to add on, first of all, I want to thank Representative Nathanson for her extraordinarily diligent and thoughtful work on this. I really admire what you've done, and I admire your openness and thoughtfulness. It's really a model for how good legislation should be crafted. But I also want to add on to your point about why we changed the term to qualified health care provider, because we also recognize that in some communities it may mean mental health providers, and in some communities it may mean dentists, and in some it may mean pharmacists, and in some it may mean general surgeons, so that women having babies can have C-sections if they need them, or people with appendicitis don't have to travel 50 miles to get their appendix out. So we wanted to keep that term broad to include not just the range of primary care providers, but also all those other people who are critical to the well-being of our rural and medically underserved communities. And as Representative Nathanson pointed out, have the opportunity to adjust the prioritization of those different kinds of healthcare providers in different areas, depending on what the needs of that specific community are.
Thank you.
Senator Winters, you also made a very good point about this. It's not just rural Oregonians.
Yeah, and I want to commend Representative Nathanson, but it's work that I think that not only has she done an outstanding job, but that we all should be really conscious of. And that's the question of that I'm sure that she started with, is it working? Mm-hmm. And it's the is it working that brought us to the table, that we just can't continue business as usual and just have things. We're a budget committee. And so I really want to thank her, because it's the is it working question that brought us to actually take the view of what we need to be doing to make certain that we're just now just continuing life and business as usual, and it's not really having the outcome that we all desire to have. So I want to thank you, and I think we need to do more of is it working.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll start far in and come this way, if it's okay.
Well, thank you. I just want to say I think this is a great bill to end with, because it really brings together a lot of the different efforts that this committee and the health policy committees have been dealing with. It dovetails really beautifully with the Senate bill that looks at the workforce needs, that study that's going to come out that will help identify how these incentive how we should drive these incentive programs, and also the tax credits that started in the Health Policy Committee. So I had a chance to comment on that, and then went on to the Tax Credit and Revenue Committee, and will also sunset in 2 years. So I think it's a great example of how we're taking a very thoughtful approach. I want to really compliment you also, Madam Co-Chair, for bringing this to us and working so hard on it. And I also think it's a great example of our co-chairs working together, because I believe, Chair Bates, that you were responsible perhaps for the preamble, which really articulated the intent that your partner chair was doing. And I know there's a lot of people in the room that are nervous about the sunset, but I thought the preamble was beautifully written to articulate what Representative Nathanson was driving at. So I think it's a fabulous one to end with.
Representative Boone, you had your hand up.
Yeah. I didn't know if Rep. Olson was going to speak or not. And so I just want to get on the record, too, and taking a page out of Doc Bates' book, I've been watching him all session, and he does a similar sort of thing every once in a while, where he will kind of pontificate on stuff.
And, sorry.
I just want to, I think it's good, and I'm always very skeptical about ending things and like throwing it out and starting over. And what I guess I am most concerned about, I will support the bill, but I'm most concerned about saying legislative intent and we intend to do this, et cetera, et cetera. There's no guarantee. And it's disturbing to me that we can say something, we can say, well, we meant to have this happen, and that was our intent. But then another legislature can come out and say, tough beans, it's not going to happen. And there's nothing we can do about it at that point. So that is still a concern of mine, because of the situation in my district. It's difficult to attract and retain medical professionals. And I don't want to jeopardize these programs. But I agree that it's a good idea always to look at things and how they're working, make sure that we're doing the best we can.
Representative Olson.
Thank you. Dr. Bates, sir. Just really quick. Okay, I like the preamble. I think that's really clear. I'm still concerned about the stability. I do appreciate the being wise with the dollars here as well for the study. I'm concerned about the message that's being sent to the rural communities and just the rural health care issue. And it would be fascinating if we were able to somehow determine or measure the loss as a result of, you know, those who would participate maybe in a rural community because of healthcare seeing this, all of a sudden say, nah, I'm not going to go there. But anyways, I appreciate what's going on here. Thank you.
I'm hoping that there will not be a loss, but what I, my hope is that there will actually be some enhancements. You know, to me, this is about, you know, sometimes we put in place incentives that are that were fine 10, 20 years ago, but not applicable to today's world. And so, you know, I'm looking at this as perhaps, you know, as a way of enhancing rather than something that is very negative. And so I, you know, for me, I'm encouraged that we take a very hard, broad look and seeing how we can improve and make things better. And, you know, what is it, you know, there was a time that we could actually hold up and say, you know, come to Oregon because of all of our wonderful natural resources and what have you. Don't get me wrong, we still have our natural resources. But every other state's doing the same thing. So, you know, for me, it's kind of like, what can we do to say, you know, we want to enhance and improve. So that's kind of where I am on this issue.
Senator Steyer-Hammond.
Thank you. I appreciate your point, Representative Olson. I think one of my concerns, and I think something we need to tease up, there are two couple things I think we need to tease apart. First is, how much of what keeps people in rural communities or prevents them from going or has them move away relates to financial issues, and how much relates to other issues? Jobs for trailing spouses, schools for their kids, other opportunities for them in those communities. And I think it's going to be important that any evaluation that gets done assesses those questions as well, because this is really a holistic situation and we need to understand that better. The second point I'd make is that one of the things I hope the study will elucidate is how many people in the state, as Representative Nathanson pointed out the first time we heard this bill, are getting multiple incentives and don't really need all those incentives. And in fact, we could be getting more bang for our buck by helping more people with each person getting a little bit less money, but more people getting some. And that's an important question that we need to answer. And the third is, on a very personal note, one of the programs that's being merged in, the Rural Scholars Program, is a program that I helped develop and I brought to this legislature in 2011 with the help of, you know, under the auspices of the Oregon Academy of Family Physicians and a lot of other stakeholders. We pulled together a group starting in 2010 and worked on this legislation for the better part of a year when I was in that role. And I'm perfectly fine with this program being included in those that are being seriously evaluated, because what I really care about deeply is making sure that we have the right healthcare workforce for the entire state, broadly construed, and that we get as much bang for our buck as a state as we possibly can, and we're being really smart with those dollars. So am I worried? Yes, absolutely. Am I going to be paying very, very close attention? Yes, absolutely. Do I think this is the right thing to do? Yes, absolutely.
Just a quick couple of comments for myself, which I'll try not to pontificate too much. I think what the bill does and what Representative Nathanson has done is has got people's attention. We've had this conversation for the last two bienniums, and it's been a sort of a hit-and-miss thing. We put one program in, we talk about another program, and nobody really wants their program touched, and so we've never been able to bring everybody together and say, what really works? Let's find out what works. Let's see what other states are doing. What this bill does is put a hard stop in 2018 that brings people to the table. Had a long talk with OHSU about their programs, got a better understanding of it. They are willing to come to the table and discuss and find out if the programs they put together really work or not. And it's not just for physicians or nurses. They have pharmacists and others in the scholars program, and they really don't know if it's going to work, but it's intuitively a good program.
And so this group should be looking at not only what we have presently, but what other states have done too, and getting the data from other states and see if that's important. From my point of view, I was the one that really moved in back in 2003 to get a program going for partial payment of, or full payment in some cases, of malpractice premiums for underserved areas. And that was a very successful program at that time because malpractice was driving people out of the state. Mm-hmm. That crisis has been calmed down now and for the most part in many ways resolved. So maybe we shouldn't be doing that anymore. Maybe we should be spending the money in a different way. Or maybe it is still helping us. We just don't know. The other issue, which I feel is one of the most important ones I haven't heard mentioned here, we're asking for a waiver, our next waiver from CMS, that we can match this money that we're spending now and have not $30 million to spend for rural underserved areas, but $90 million. With that kind of money, you can really start moving the meter. You can really start making an impact if you have the right programs. And I'm not saying what those programs would be, but you have enough money at that point to really affect people's lives in rural areas of the state and in underserved areas of the state. So I believe that this is a great bill. I appreciate all the hard work Representative Nathans has done on this. And I know it's been controversial, and there's been a lot of people in the background kind of fighting this thing. But basically, we're moving in the right direction. And I want to call out Josh Ballack. He's the one that brought me the whereases, which I think were important. I read through them. I liked them. I only changed like one or two words, and I got them in as an amendment. I think it's important that that spells out our intent pretty carefully. And with that, so let's go. So we have, do we vote on the amendment?
Not yet.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. And final motion, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3396 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Nathan has moved House Bill 3396 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion. Any opposition? Oh, any discussion?
Thank you, Chair. I wanted my last chance to say my final words this session in here. This was an interesting one for me because I really appreciate the study and the work that's been done on this. I wish, for my own peace of mind, I wish this had come onto my radar sooner, because I'm just not quite settled on how we get them back to the table. But what's frustrating for me is being new in the building, I don't know how else we would. And so I haven't actually spent the time, because this is a new issue for me, I haven't spent the time really processing that. So I'm gonna be a no here in just a moment. But it's frustrating to be a no because I actually don't know what a better solution was, other than I just know that I'm not quite at peace with it. Maybe if I'd spent more time on it or if it had come onto my radar sooner, I could have been more valuable in that conversation. But I do appreciate the hard work on it, and I very much appreciate the need for the study and so forth.
I appreciate your explanation of your no vote, and I appreciate it. And I'm hoping that by the time it gets to the floor, we'll have a chance to look at it and feel more comfortable with it. I'll give you a little tiny piece of advice, which you don't have to take and most people don't take. On our side of the building, I often tell my fellow senators, don't pass up the good for the perfect. We are all, myself included, very guilty of that at times. Representative Boone, did you want to say something?
I looked through it again. I didn't see anything directly, but I hope that when these other groups are consulted, that one of the groups that is consulted are the graduating students, and that what would make them, you know, what would help bring them to a rural area versus a big city area, so that maybe we could learn from their experience too.
Their experience, what their decision process is, mm-hmm. especially how people leaving and physicians leaving residencies. So, any other discussion? Seeing none, we have one objection, two objections. Mm-hmm. And the measure is passed, and we need carriers now. Representative Nathan, I assume you'll carry it in full.
Mm-hmm.
And want you and I to carry it in the.
I'd be honored to carry it.
Mr. Chair. Five minorities, though. Would you like to carry it?
Hey, you know, I'm
you're always available.
As you know, I'm very global, as you know.
I think that I like to, if it's okay with everybody, I'd like to have Senator Winters and Senator Steiner here with care of this. They both have an insight into it. It's important.
But before we adjourn, Mr. Chair, we had some very good news yesterday and this morning.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we should talk about it.
I was very excited. That's where I was going.
I'm very excited, and maybe those of you don't know that I started my career at University of Oregon Medical School in 1959. And so, you know, as I've traveled my journey, I've always said, you know, big teaching institution actually is at a place where it could compete with San Diego and Mayo Clinic and some of the others. It just makes me excited. And so I'm very excited that the cancer research has reached that grand dollar figure and will get the match. I think it's wonderful for Oregon, not only that, you know, we will draw not only national attention, but we sit here and talk about medicine, you know, with these two on each side of me. but it's exciting because it will bring in the caliber of researchers and individuals into the university system.
Yep.
And it is not just Portland. I just got to say that.
Whole state.
It's the entire state. And I'm really excited when I, you know, turned on and saw the news and saw Dr. Drucker and, you know, and all this. And I'm going, wow, we did it. You know, I've gone to a lot of conferences, you know, across this country. And I'm envious. I was envious when I went to Massachusetts and saw all of their research capability. When I went to San Diego and seeing all their research capability. And I'm going, one of these days, Oregon is going to be right there with the rest of them.
And so, we are now.
Hey, I'm excited this morning about the news that we're going forward. I'm sorry I stole your thunder.
No.
I actually had two pieces. That was one piece. The second piece was the Supreme Court this morning ruled that the ACA and the exchanges and the credits, the intent of that law, maybe not the letter, but the intent of the law is that the exchanges are legal if they're run by the federal government or by the states. And for our state, that's really important because we had a thin veil of protection that I'm not sure
we've
been penetrated.
We don't have to pay them.
No, so the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. We shall accept it and work with it, and it affects everything we do in healthcare, everything we do in every part of Oregon. So it was a good day for Oregon on two counts this morning. And I'm looking forward to us going forward with the programs we have in place. It's important to the CCLs and to commercial insurers. Any final comments?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Since my good colleague brought up the OHSU situation, I'm going to put on the record one more time that I'm equally happy and I'm very glad about it. I really hope that some of that money and some of that effort is devoted toward cancer prevention and not just early detection. Because if you think about healthcare disparities and if you think about our rural communities and what we could be doing to improve some of the factors we know increase people's risk for cancer, I think you and I would both say that we'd much prefer to tell people good news, you don't have cancer, rather than good news, we caught your cancer early. And so we already know a lot of the things that can reduce cancer risk. We can never completely prevent it, but we know things that can reduce risk. And I hope that some of the researchers they bring in will be focusing on community-wide interventions that look at ways to significantly reduce that risk and support our minority communities, support our rural communities in particular.
I agree with that. I guess for me the excitement is that, and I'm a lot more chronologically advantaged than you are. But in my day, I can recall when just the mere words sent chills.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
You know, when I was on the Hill, and that the prognosis then was so very, very dire. So, you know, for me now that science has come to the place to where you're talking about we can get on the front end. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also, and you're talking about lifestyle changes, behavior, but, you know, we have to continue to work on with the individuals on recognizing that lifestyle do play a part in some of this, but exactly. I'm very excited.
So don't smoke, okay?
It's more than just smoking.
I know, I'm kidding. Representative Stark, some people want to go have breakfast, but go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you again to the chairs, co-chairs, and what a wonderful mug. Yay. And after some serious pontification, I've decided that, great thought, I've decided this is my favorite subcommittee I've ever served on.
That's the only one, I think, anyway. So I'm going to move to adjournment here. We'll try to set something up next week. We'll check your schedules and see when people are available. And try to get the other one evening next week, and we'll go from there. So this is not our swan song. We'll be back, I believe, in February as a group, probably. And so this may not be a swan song, but it is the chicken. And we are adjourned.
That was funny. Thank you.
Adjourned.
That was funny.